Welcome to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet. Joan and Janet are subtle energy empaths in the field of consciousness. Their passion is to support your evolutionary growth and change. Join them as they talk about our individual and collective evolutions. Explore what living consciously with energetic awareness means in our daily lives. Access with them a state of grace. There is no time, no space. Feel the warmth and acceptance and opening into infinite possibilities. Combining a broad collection of modalities and personal experiences, they share with humility and humor their appreciation for the body, mind, spirit connections that we call life. Now, here is Joan Newcomb and Janet Barrett.
Welcome to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet. We're your co-hosts, Joan Newcomb, coming to you from Tacoma, Washington, and my partner, Janet Barrett, coming to you from Portland, Oregon.
Hello, everyone. What a great week this is leading off to, right? We're going to do Christmas this end of the week. There we go.
It's going to be Presents Day.
Yeah. We want to be present when we're having our presents. Oh, right. That's good. I like that.
Because if you're not present, then you'll miss it all.
That's right. Definitely.
What's all this wrapping paper doing here?
Yeah. We like holidays. Any chance to celebrate life is good. So, and what are we talking about? Today we're going to talk about families and consciousness, right?
Right. So, yes, today we're talking about families and consciousness, since this is a time of year that families end up being around each other a lot. And also how to respond as consciousness with our families and loved ones. So, during the coldest and darkest time of the year, how to respond with warmth, light, and love.
And you can call in today. We're live and join us at 1-888-627-6008 if you'd like to talk with us and we can explore further. We do have a letter. We had some questions written in by one of our listeners, and we'll get into that just before we go into heart. So we appreciate all your paying attention and participating, and we'll look to be responsive. So you got not too many meetups this week, right, Joan?
Yes, I have. I just have one meetup in Seattle on the 27th in Ballard. So if you would like to join us for a free Conscious Conversations meetup, that's on Sunday the 27th in Ballard. I have a couple of them coming up in January in Tacoma and in Bellevue, and I will announce that next week. So don't want to give people too much at once, right?
Yeah, really.
However, speaking of giving, is that I've decided to do a special holiday call, Visions for 2016, to talk to people about how to manifest and create what they want in 2016, and I'm going to be doing that on Monday the 28th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon Pacific, so that's 2 o'clock Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern, and more information about that, email me at joan@joannewcomb.com or go to my website joan-newcomb.com for that.
Ooh, that sounds good. I think I'll call you.
Okay.
I can always use a little extra along the way. And I have Conscious Conversations with Janet meetup each week here in Portland. And you're more than welcome to join me for that. And we drop in, we access heart space and take a couple of hours to look at what's really important down deep with all the mayhem that might be out and about in your world. So I heartily suggest you do that. You can do that through meetup.com, Conscious Conversations with Janet, or my website, my email at janetb@janetandbeyond.com. So yeah, we've got lots of good things going on there. So we do love to hear from you. So what's all that contact information, Joan?
Oh, yes. Well, yes, we do love to hear from you. And if you want to email us your questions or things to talk about, you can do that at consciouswithjoanandjanet@gmail.com. So we left out the conversations and made the email too long. So consciouswithjoanandjanet@gmail.com. You can also message us through Facebook. You can join us on Facebook at Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet. I say join the group and join the fun. You can follow us on Twitter at Joan and Janet, so you can message us that way too. Give us your suggestions of things you'd like us to talk about, and we will give you your 15 minutes of fame by answering those on the air. And if you want to binge watch us, you can subscribe to this on YouTube, and just, you know, you can sit in bed with your milk and cookies on Christmas and listen to this over again and go into a blissful state.
Well, it's kind of the gift that keeps on giving. You know, we set this up that it's timeless. So whatever time our listeners are choosing to listen, they're interacting and making it alive. And that's a real important consideration, I think. In being present, you are present. And whatever is showing up on that podcast that you're listening to is real. It's alive. So it's a great way to take a break, reorganize, reevaluate, and then start again. So heartily recommend it. So, and what else have we got? Anything else? No. We want to talk about our subject, families, and how sometimes we love them, sometimes we don't. And what do we do about that? And how to take it from the approach of this consciousness to make it a little easier for ourselves. What do you think, Joan?
Yeah. So that is kind of the point. You know, as consciousness, we are one big human family. We're one, as consciousness, we're all one. So it's a wonderful collective energy. But in form, we have, you know, parents who drive us crazy and siblings who are awful and, you know, people who pick on us and all that. And even if they're not our blood family, you know, they carry these distorted patterns, these painful interactions. And how to respond to them from a bigger perspective, from the greater awareness of consciousness, and suddenly you can be compassionate for the batshit crazy people in your life.
Yeah, really? Well, I think as consciousness, we realize that we set our game plan up, and we're setting our perceptual biases up as human and how we want to experience life this time around and all the different roles that one can play. And you get to notice, hopefully from a neutral position, your patterns and how that's reflecting and what that might be reflecting energetically. And you get to decide if you want to change your positioning. That's what consciousness is about. It's fluidity, flexibility, expansiveness, and utilizing ourselves as consciousness and those inherent skill sets that we all have but most often don't use. So for some of us, and certainly our family dynamics set us up for the way we're going to engage life, you know, they set the patterns. They stimulate the patterns. I don't know that they create the patterns. They stimulate the patterns through the biases. And sometimes we choose to be more overwhelmed by those around us. Sometimes we choose to be fearless. Sometimes you can choose all kinds of positioning. And families are probably the one thing that's going to trigger on so many different levels about where you are with all of that.
Yes. There's so much more to say about this. I mean, you just brought up about 13 things that I'd love to jump in on. And they all do also speak to our listeners' questions. So why don't we go to commercial break now, and then we can go into heart space right afterwards.
It sounds great to me.
All right, so we have to stop for a commercial break, but stay tuned as we're talking about families and consciousness in a state of grace.
Are you ready to take a quantum leap in your life? Joan Newcomb is a conscious mastery coach who empowers you to navigate life from your own inner wisdom using energy techniques. Contact her through her website, joan-newcomb.com, and take conscious mastery of your life today. That's joan-newcomb.com. You are listening to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet. To reach our program, please send questions and comments to conscious with Joan and Janet at gmail.com. That's conscious with Joan and Janet at gmail.com. Now, back to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet.
Welcome back. You're listening to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet. I am your host, Joan Newcomb, and we are along here with Janet, and we are talking about families and consciousness.
We all got them. Even if we're adopted, there's something that you've ascribed in relating to as family, I bet. Whether it's friends, people you've met along the way, someone you've shared experiences with, because I think it's inherent in us to be relationship-based creatures. So whatever that is, it can feel good, bad, ugly, indifferent, or someplace in a relating mode. So I'm trying to pull up all our stuff here. What do we want to look at? Okay, what was striking you, Joan, that you wanted to look at? And then we should drop into heart after that.
How do we want to do this? Because sometimes it's like I drop into heart space and you don't even need to mention that stuff.
I think I will say
that this happens beyond holidays, is that we tend to carry our family stuff into the workplace. We carry our family stuff, you know, we carry our family stuff with us. And so we're responding unconsciously. And I think you touched on this before. So what would it be like to be in the present moment and be in present time with all these people? Because the other thing is that we go into these situations and we become little kids again. And we don't have available to us, you know, our wisdom, our awareness, our experience, and our techniques. You know, those go right out the window because all of a sudden we're four and everybody's bigger than we are. So, be in the present moment.
Well, that's one thing we're aware of. Heart doesn't have a sense of time to it. Mm-hmm. So when you're in emotional heart, now I'm speaking of emotional heart, when you're in that state, that's where it gets triggered is all that information that's sitting there. And so, you immediately feel like you're the child again. You immediately get thrown back in that because that's where that got set. So, we want to be using our awareness and dropping into heart and noticing from there those triggers. And maybe they're not so prevalent now as they used to be, because that's what you and I are doing all the time, helping people to shift those points of awareness so that they're outside of their field or they've just totally broken down and become something else and, you know, just fodder for the universe. So it's important to do. So we did have one gal wrote in. Shelley wrote in that she's a wreck during the holidays because of family members who are bullies and abusive.
So, yeah, so. I'll jump in on that because I started reading the original copy. So
which one am I looking at?
So she has family members who give her a hard time, mm-hmm. and push her buttons that make her upset. Right. And, you know, and they even involve friends in doing the same thing as well. And so she does her best to avoid gatherings where they are, but the rest of the family then doesn't understand why she feels the need to protect herself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she says they talk behind her back to turn other family and friends against her. And growing up, her parents, she felt, were abusive, and this feels like a repeat, except that now she has the power to remove herself from the situation. So she's asking how to handle these, she calls them bullies, when she can't avoid to be being around them. You know, when you're at funerals or visiting sick family members in the hospital. And, you know, obviously the holidays make all of this just worse. She does try praying and sending them love, and she also doesn't understand why they're doing this and why they want to hurt her. You know, and she mentioned that she used to be close to one and the dynamics changed when somebody else came into this picture, which often happens, you know, somebody else comes into the picture and they're bringing their own mm-hmm. family patterns and it changed the dynamics. Mm-hmm. So that is her story. And we haven't dropped into heart space yet. So why don't we do that now and then we can talk about this.
I want everyone to, and this is why I waited on this, I want everyone to feel what that felt like.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, that just, it doesn't feel very nice. So what we're going to do here is shift our awareness down through access heart, and then we'll just see what that does to this story. This is information, and this is how she's holding it all together. And so she raises lots of good points about how to interact with people and the different roles that we play and wanting to understand, which is what we all want to do. So let's just take a moment, because you may have some of this, you may not. And it, all of it is just information out there in the collective, because this is not a news story. It's her story. So just let's see what it'd be like to just relax. And just notice if something's coming to mind already, it might already be there. And just let it be out there. And so as you just bring your awareness to heart, there we go. And we're talking physical heart. Notice how you referenced it when I said heart. So we're starting with the physical heart. And then we're going to notice that emotional terrain, the emotional heart. Okay, and there's lots of information bouncing around there. So just notice it. Don't be attached, even if you think you need to be or want to be or you can't be anything other than. That's just story. So just notice. Let it be colors. Let it be something that you can articulate. But you don't have to be involved in. It's just information. There we go. And then let's go into the core, the essence, the heart of all. The field of unified consciousness, where you and I are one. Where it's just potential filled with little bits and pieces of information. There you go. That kind of feels like a slide. That's a slide with a whoopee at the end of it. That's funny. I love it. A wee, wee, wee. Just slide into the core, the essence. Now, what's interesting to me when I think about Shelley's story is I find myself turning around and looking from where I've come and inviting her to join us here. There we go. So if we're just in the land of potential, what might come to mind? Got a lot of shifting going on, Joan. That's really nice. So what you may find, everyone, is from this perspective that the stories are just breaking down. And like Joan mentioned, you know, once you get into heart, you realize that the things that seemed important aren't so important. Wow, that's nice. That might seem like a lot of quiet over the airwaves, but everybody, that is really nicely doing. Okay, Joan, what do you got?
Well, it was interesting because I was noticing a quiet in the space that you and I are creating here, and actually to acknowledge everybody. Whenever you're listening to this, you're helping to co-create this space as well. We are all matching in a heart space. And I was also noticing there is noise, but it's outside of our bubble, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's all of those people engaging in the story of conflict in the family as if it were true. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like as you create an inner quiet, they get louder. And it seems like the patterns get more extreme.
Mm-hmm.
But it really reminds me of little kids having a tantrum, and so they get that they're getting really louder and more extreme as you are stepping back and not focusing on them.
Well, I love how you referred to that as conflict in the family, right? Because that right there starts to change the story. And then when you say the noise getting louder outside of the bubble and they're acting out, and we know how children will act out in order to get your attention. And it's really in acknowledging how powerful we each are, how powerful Shelley is. Because her family is, and how she's relating to it, is choosing to challenge things.
Well, the other thing I think of is that when families come together, people revert to their old behaviors, and they're not conscious.
Well, everybody's five again, right?
Exactly.
Or two.
And the thing, sometimes, however, that reality isn't going on the way you perceive it because you've got your five-year-old glasses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're hearing things that way. You know, I had an interesting experience. My sister-in-law is visiting, and we went over to my husband's brother's house and his girlfriend. I was going to say new girlfriend, but I realized while I was there that they've actually been together for a good 5 years or something. But I haven't been over there. I've been busy with other things. I was gone back east for 2 years and things like that. So I have actually been outside of whatever that story is. And, you know, I honestly just, I don't really know. And I don't know what happened with the first wife or any of that. And so I was sort of standing there in a wonderful space of neutrality, and nothing was triggering me because, you know, I don't know their story. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why they, you know, snubbed me from Christmas for the first 4 years, but it was probably a blessing, come to think of it. It's okay. So, you know, and also I was noticing just how different it felt to me because I wasn't engaging in any of that storyline. And so it feels like, well, this is going to be kind of a fun Christmas now because, you know, I'm not resisting. It's not creating pain for me. You know, and it's interesting to see my husband, who's 6'6", when he reverts to his five-year-old. It's a pretty, Shrek. You know, he's much skinnier than Shrek. But anyway, it's a funny thing because, you know, you guys are now 58 and 63 or whatever it is. It's not going on.
Exactly. And what you describe sounds to me like great freedom. Freedom of the stories, so you can create the reality you want to be in, right? And it doesn't mean they're any less obnoxious or anything. It just means it doesn't have to bother you. And, you know, that's their stuff. It's so nice when you can see other people's agendas and you can be clean about your own. Okay, how am I participating in this? And what am I getting out of this, even if it feels like a negative thing? And then you can step back and you go, oh, okay, I don't. That's really not important to me anymore. And how to walk free of that is really a skill set. I've got my own husband's family coming up for Christmas Eve, and I like that they're very different people than I, and we don't have share many reference points except that they all came out of the same womb and same mother and father kind of thing. So I'm always the outsider. If I allow myself to stay that, I actually just see myself kind of as the neutral viewer, observer, mm-hmm. Right?
Right. Yes.
And so I can enjoy them in a way that, you know, tightens everybody else up. And I must admit, I like that positioning. You know, I like to use my skill sets in a way that I don't have to be too attached. And even when it's my own family stuff, you know, anymore, I'm just kind of like, okay, what's going on? What did I co-create out of this? And so, and taking responsibility back and saying, okay, I'm co-creating here. And is this what I want? And I don't want to choose to engage this anyway. And I think from heart space is where you have to be and just make your choices from there. But if you're coming from your emotional wounds, that's not good information. So let's just keep noticing, you know, here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the couple things were coming to me talking. I was thinking I had to go back to a family funeral, and these family members had sort of made me their black sheep or scapegoat for like 10, 15 years or something. And, I just didn't engage with them, but I realized that here I am going back to this funeral and all their friends, and there were like hundreds of people there, had a different version of who I was. And just because, you know, just because they labeled me as a scapegoat or a black sheep or whatever it was, doesn't mean I have to be that, mm-hmm. you know? So, mm-hmm. you know, I got to be completely centered in myself and my own awareness of self-awareness, you know, my own self-awareness. And people kind of looked at me sideways because I didn't look like the heroin addict or whatever they thought I was.
Right. Because the stories are just stories. The propaganda got there before you did, right?
Exactly. And that's
then you go, oh. And if they're able to look, they'll notice, no, that's really, where did I get the idea she was like this, you know, kind of thinking. And I think that's real, certainly very present in our culture right now with all the media information that goes out that's really got some kind of an agenda behind it. And so I think we both commented on that this week in our writing. Let's just notice people. Just notice, what would it be like to be free to experience yourself as consciousness? If you go in there as little Sally Shoemaker or Tommy the Terrible or whatever, that's really not consciousness in its beauty.
You meant Goody Two Shoes, not Sally the Shoemaker.
I don't know what I said. It's gone already.
Shoemaker.
Yeah, there we go. So, and just, what if, you know, there's a regalness and a nobility. You see it, people like in the Dalai Lama and all kinds of different people that just, you know, walk their path and they're at peace about it because they're not in fear of what walking that path is about. They're willing to look at what the path is, what's involved in the path, and they're willing to meet it. They're willing to come to terms with it. They're willing to reframe it in a way that says they're okay. So for those of us who feel less than, all right, is where can you feel more than? There's an approach. What would it be like to feel more than? And that in just being you is more than enough. And some, it depends upon what your take as consciousness is in your human form. Whether you're going to be the enabler, the champion, the resistor, the whatever roles we, and we can play more than one role, so we know how that works. So what is it you're doing? What's motivating you? What's inspired?
I was going to chime in a bit earlier about the whole dynamic of victims and bullies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, bullies will target victims. You know, they will pick out the person who has victim written on their forehead, so to speak.
Right.
You know, but they're not interested in bullying somebody who is in their own power. It's right. not fun. They'll ignore that person, though. They'll leave that alone. And if you change your own inner awareness and show up, you know, in your own strength at family gatherings, then that will often change the whole interaction, and there won't be any bullying. Or if there's an attempted bullying, it'll just fall flat because it's not going to land anywhere. You know, they're not going to bully somebody who's also like the same size and age they are, or they're not going to bully somebody who is coming in to the situation in their adulthood. You know,
it comes down to energy, right? Mm-hmm. And that strong force will take over what it senses as a weaker force, taking that energy back and increasing themselves. That's just the way sort of some energy dynamics work. So we got to change that up. And so maybe we can suggest a couple of, and I hate this word, techniques, but some tools that people can use. And one thing is to know that you're okay. So how do you know that you're okay? And one way to do that is to be aware of a field you have around you, an aura perhaps, or however you might preface that. And so what I like to do is bring in the pink hot cotton candy, hot pink cotton candy cloud, right? Everybody knows what pink cotton candy looks like, but it's not sticky. This feels really good. Okay. And just allow yourself to be immersed in this cloud. And it goes everywhere. And then start to pulse it and let it start to integrate and activate. And in the integration, it's strengthening your integrity of your system. So it's not about being defensive. It is about being integrated so that whatever comes at you or up into this field is going to interact with that field, but also it will just pass through. Because consciousness is everywhere and it's permeable. So we want to have an integration to the physical sense of whatever we are. But we just also want to know that we have more integrity. Integrity being the strength of the matrix of the system that's at play. Okay? And what that's like. And I would do this before you, and you're going to have to play with it and make the construct real for yourself. Before you engage whatever the situation is that you're going to come up against, and because you have a feeling you're going to come up against and be overwhelmed or something. And so it's really not about that. It's just about your integrated system before you choose to walk into whatever is going on in your environment. We really want to watch our language. We really want to start to set things up that, okay, I'm okay. I'm integrating into this system. I'm interacting in this situation, and I'm always okay. Doesn't mean they change or do anything different. It just means how you respond in it. I find that's very helpful. You got anything there that comes to mind?
Yeah, I do. And I like that idea of being in your own protective bubble. And the pink that came to mind to me was that lovely pink that's that sort of gold pink that's at sunsets or sunrises. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got that really lovely, that lovely shade. And I actually have a couple similar techniques. One is that neutrality you were talking about, and negativity just passes right through. Mm-hmm. For that one, I just imagine like a Harry Potter in an invisibility cloak.
Mm-hmm.
So you are literally transparent, and the energy, there's no resistance there to get stuck on. So it just passes right through. And I suggested things like that for people who are like artists and they have to do a showing and they're just going to be overwhelmed by people coming and talking to them about their art. You know, use that, or use a protective bubble around your head, like a deep sea diver kind of dome that keeps you separate from other people's energy. That pink you just suggested too is a wonderful way of separating your energy from the prevalent energy level, which is probably not pink. Because pink is that color of affinity and love. It's also mm-hmm. a wonderful color for manifestation. So,
mm-hmm.
The other thing I would suggest to folks before they go in is you can still use the same idea of being in a protective bubble or a dome or whatever, but be in present time. You can repeat to yourself what the date is, what the year is, how old you are. In fact, you can keep repeating to yourself how old you are when you walk into it. And that helps you stay connected to what the present moment is and what your current awareness as an adult is. Because you might have metaphysical training. You might know protective techniques. You might know psychological protective techniques. But they all go out the window when you're 5, like we had said earlier. So if you can remember that you're, you know, really 45 or 55 or 65 or whatever, it'll make it a lot easier as a gatherer.
I think what's important is that we are all consciousness at play.
Yes.
You and I, the guy who's the bully, the friend who's subversive or abortive or whatever it is, we're all consciousness at play. So I can't I can't disrespect that. There's a difference between people's behaviors and who they are at heart, right?
Yes.
And what Joan and I are suggesting for our listeners is that this is a state of being that we're talking about. And this is something you may have to, and I hate the word practice at, play at.
Right.
And
play.
Develop strength about in integrating this as a new state of reality for you. The chances of you holding this high, if you're going to call it the high road or whatever it is, when you're going into a situation and that you not get triggered is probably pretty slim. This is something that you've got to already be engaging outside of the stress moment and developing comfort and confidence in. And it's a way. But what allows me to hold compassion, which to me is what I'm looking to be, a compassionate person, is to understand, and maybe not understand in the sense of knowing all the details, but appreciating that individual that I'm working with, no matter where it feels threatening or pleasant or whatever, is also consciousness in action. Maybe at some different level of awareness that I'm operating at, but it's all about me. And how I'm choosing to experience his information or their information. And once I start changing and holding that awareness within myself, those outside experiences start to transform.
Yes. Yeah. Another thing I will do in situations, and I used to do this when I was performing weddings, and you'd come into the rehearsal and people were just like hanging off the rafters. And, you know, you step back and you view it all as a movie. Mm-hmm. Because as consciousness, it really is a movie. It's created everything in the storyline. And if you know, on a real movie set, everybody knows that they're playing roles. And I've said this before, but Christopher Walken is actually kind of a boring guy. And, you know, but he's playing this really scary, creepy guy. And when shooting is done, or when they've wrapped it up, they all go down to the bar and have a drink together. You know, they're all friends. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. After the movie is over. So if you can step into the situation and realize, oh, this is all a movie, and the person who played my nemesis all through my life is actually just another character, you don't have to get stuck in the old script, and you don't have to follow that pattern. I love to view things as improv, and that, you know, you can deviate from the script, which may mess everybody else up, but that makes it even more fun and amusing. Suddenly this is, you know, whose line is it anyway? And Drew Carey is throwing out suggestions.
Yeah. I think something important, Shelley in her letter said she didn't understand why people were acting this way with her.
Right.
And I think that's part of the hook that she's got to let go of. And that in trying to understand, you're keeping the state open and the story going. And it's not about understanding sometimes. And I think what's important here is we have the skills to be reenactors. And I think we talked about this in group this last week, is there's habits, but there's also reenactment. And we go into reenactment mode when we take the circumstances in the past, the story that the heart's holding still because there's no time, and we go over and over and over and re-experience whatever the event was, looking for something different to have happened. And unless you're doing that from a really engaged awareness state, what you're really looking for is the thing that you didn't notice.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go into that reenactment story and you go, well, what did I miss the first 1,000,000,000 times? And you allow for that to be present, that will change it. Because that's really what you're looking for. I think we're curious creatures and we're creative. And what we're doing is if we do it over and over enough, see, because practice makes perfect, we'll get a different answer. We'll get a different solution. And I think that's something to bring into awareness for people.
Yeah, you know, and something you said a while back, you know, she was not getting stuck in the why. You know, why are they doing this kind of thing? Because the other thing is, they may not be doing this.
Okay, there's the other side of the coin, right?
Or they may be so unconscious, it's like they don't even know what the effects are on the other person. Or there might be something else going on in the storyline you don't know, you know? So taking any of it personally, because you don't have to react, even if that seems to be the way that it's, you know, that don't react dramatically, even if it seems dramatic, is my rule of thumb.
Well, and I think the challenge is that most people are not that emotionally evolved that we deal with in our families. Okay, I'm just going to make a blanket statement like that.
Right. They're Neanderthals.
And most people don't understand their hidden agendas.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you how many times, certainly when I was in the movie industry, and I was helping people to audition, and I'd sit with clients and go through the audition process and hear what they're saying about someone who's come to audition. And I realized that this was so prevalent in anybody's home life, is that there would be people there that were just perfect for the role, but they didn't get it. And if I'd ask and I'd talk to the director, the producer, whoever was in charge of selecting someone, they reminded him of his ex-wife. Hmm. There is no way that woman who was absolutely perfect for that role would get it.
Right.
Because she reminded him of something. And I would suggest, like what you're talking about, is so often people are unaware and treat each other in certain patterns that have nothing to do with that person, but they're in a memory. They're in a state of awareness about something else. And this person just is a trigger and reminds them of that. And however they feel about it, you're going to get the result of it. And I think that's something that operates really well.
Yes. You just had me going off into family situations now as you were talking. It's like, what were we talking about? Because suddenly I'm like replaying things in my head. And it's like, wait. It's like we have movies going on in our head. So it's a little bit like if you've got a movie playing on your laptop and you've got something else on TV, that is the craziness of your family holidays.
Oh, and then you get the select so you can watch 5 different movies at the same time all on their little screen. And that's really pretty much probably the way consciousness is working. It's on, you got so many screens open.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't know what level. And so you're having an experience with this person, it seems, in real time, real present. And you're really, it's sometime in the future, sometime in the past, and it's all intersecting right now. And so this time right now is where you're feeling it, because this is the body you're in to feel it. So there's lots of different things going on. And we're just inviting you to hold a little more awareness of yourself as you observe yourself with those families and stuff. And I think it's probably time to start thinking about noticing what we're noticing now. There we go.
I had one last little thing to share.
Yeah, sure.
Because you were talking about the Dalai Lama. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at how to maintain a sense of serenity during chaos or during like the holidays or whatever. And I came up with an image of either the Dalai Lama or a Buddhist monk in saffron robes, and how, you know, this, okay, so the Dalai Lama is still that smiling Dalai Lama guy, whether he is on the side of a mountain in Tibet or Nepal or wherever, or he is, I know he's exiled from Tibet, folks, by the way. But, you know, so you just take a Tibetan monk, and they have that sense of smiling serenity wherever they are, whether it's in a mall at Christmas time or on the side of a mountain, is what I was trying to say. So that, just using that as an idea in my head or an image in my head about how to maintain serenity when you're in the midst of chaos.
Well, and what makes him remarkable and anyone like him is that it's the triumph of the human spirit, because he holds in his awareness all the pain, all the suffering, all the whatever he physically has gone through, but also he connects to everyone's humanity.
Right.
And he still smiles.
Right. And he's holding the suffering of, you know, all of it. and with his people. So
here he can smile. So the smile comes with awareness. It's not just the happy-go-lucky, everything is just fine. It's the smile that comes out of experiencing humanity. And that's where we're all at. We have that capability. We're no different than the Dalai Lama. He just has more awareness and has organized how he experiences his world, maybe differently than you and I.
I want to invite people to hold this space of heart space and of awareness.
Okay,
break right now, and we'll come out of heart space on the other side. So, but notice what it's like holding heart space during a commercial break. And stay tuned, and we'll be talking more about families and consciousness and a state of grace.
Would you like a fresh approach to the challenges you're dealing with? Janet Barrett is a subtle energy empath. Feeling the energies present in your myths and language, she offers a supportive, non-judgmental viewpoint. Experience new ways to relate to and release the energies in those stories. Receive a $25 discount on your first session. Email Janet for an appointment at janetb@janetandbeyond.com. Come explore with Janet. New possibilities for a joy-filled life.
You are listening to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet. To reach our program, please send questions and comments to consciouswithjoanandjanet@gmail.com. That's consciouswithjoanandjanet@gmail.com. Now, back to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet.
Welcome back. You're listening to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet. I am your host, Joan, along here with Janet, and we've been talking about families and consciousness.
I think what I caught in that, just before the commercial break, Joan, and what you were sharing, is all the different kinds of family one can have. And we're kind of perhaps foolish if we don't, if you don't like the family you have, make up another one. Find another one. We, you know, the Dalai Lama is the family of man, right? He's in his tribes and all these different layers. So you have clan, which is family, and then you have extended family, and then you have community, and then you have country, and then you have the neighboring country, and then you have the world, I guess. And in between all of that, there are others. And, you know, some people might not see themselves as courageous when perhaps they are or they easily could be. And if you're in a situation you don't care for, change it. The only thing that's keeping you there is your belief that you have to do something there.
Well, and you don't have to change the external circumstance. Mm-mm. Change Mm-mm. yourself.
No. Change how you relate to the information you're in.
Change the lens that you view it in. Change your mm-hmm. attitude towards it. You're the only person that you can control in your perspective as actually within your control.
Right. And, you know, you may be finding that if you're an empathic personality, which we all are, just depends upon what degree you are, a lot of times you may be feeling the other's experience, the other's information, and thinking it's your own. And that's not always helpful. That's something we need to get better about. And there's just so many forces that you create in a circumstance. And just because people have shared an experience doesn't mean they're any more than just what they were in that moment, right? And we tend to think if, you know, we lived with these people that, you know, they're the answers and everything goes back to them. And it does to the degree that it doesn't, that it does and doesn't. So, you know, it's what's the viewpoint you're holding. So it's probably getting closer to time to just anything there you want to finish with, John, before we come back up?
Bring us back to street level so we're not walking around blissed out like the guy from Office Space, you know.
Got it. Okay, everyone. So just notice. Just relax. Yeah, the relaxation is still there. People went pretty deep. So just start to come back. God, notice that emotional terrain now. Is it the same? It feels different. And just allow yourself to be aware that in this time we had together, something's different. You may know exactly what that is. You may think, oh, something's different. I don't know what it is. And that's actually the perfect place to be. And then there's the place where I'm just going to trust that something's different and what that would be like. There we go. And as you come back to your heart, physical heart, and thank it for this week. Fine, masterful job that it did. And allow compassion for yourself, compassion for your body, compassion for your thinking, feeling. And then just come back to street level, as John calls it. Okay. There we go. And as you go out into the world and the holiday and the last minute rush and the last minute buying spree and the last minute, and realize it's not the last minute. There's many more minutes. And enjoy your time. Or find something to enjoy in your time. There we go. That feels nice, Joan.
I love that because, you know, when you're rushing, you're going to miss the thing you're looking for.
Totally.
And, you know, as you and I know from working in radio, it's like, it's amazing how long a minute actually is. So there, once you do slow down to be in the present moment, it lasts forever. So there is plenty of time between now and Christmas to get those last minute things done.
Yeah. And why do we call them last minute, right? Because we have a deadline. That's it. So,
well, it's because the retailers want you to get them.
Yeah. And we must support the sacred, right?
the sacred media marketing people.
Sacred. So, all right. Well, we want to let everyone know that we're going to all wish you a happy holidays. And you can join us on YouTube if you want to do the marathon approach or one show at a time. You can call in, leave us information or write in at consciouswithjoanandjanet@gmail.com for any suggestions or comments you might have about what you've been hearing. This has been an incredible year, hasn't it, Joan? We're getting up here towards the end of it, I guess.
Yes, so, it is. So. Exactly. We started here on BBS Radio, right? The last week.
Oh, that's right.
So that'd be next week will be our anniversary.
You wouldn't know it. The year's really gone by.
We still look young and lovely.
Exactly. I don't know if our sound engineers do, but we certainly do.
Hard to hear. Right.
So join me, if you would, Tuesday night. That would be tonight here in Portland. If you want to join in for Conscious Conversations with Janet at 7:30, you can contact me for that at janetb@janetandbeyond. And Joan, what are you going to be doing these next few days?
Want to remind people to go to your website. Oh, JanetandBeyond.com, and to get their 10 top tips for enjoying life.
Joan and I write great blogs.
Yes.
And so
and you can access all that there as well. And you can access that on Facebook, either through the show, which is Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet, or Janet, which is Janet Barrett, or me. And I'm either Joan Newcomb is my fan page, or Joan Marjorie Newcomb is my regular page. You can join us there. At my website, which is joan-newcomb.com, you can find out all about my meetups, which I'm holding around the Puget Sound. Conscious Conversations in Seattle is next weekend on the 27th. I also am giving people a free holiday call, Visions for 2016, and ways to actually bring their manifestations into reality. And I'm going to be doing that on Monday, the 28th at 2 p.m. Pacific. So go to my website and it will be all there for you to sign up.
What a great gift for someone, for yourself or for someone else. Joan's got some great little webinar stuff sheets. So never too late to get one of those. And we want to thank everyone for, and hope you have a great week. I mean, right? what else is there?
Right. Don't have a terrible week. Have a great week.
Have a great week.
Yes. Stay in the present moment and enjoy life. There's our message.
That's it in a nutshell. So, so whatever time and space that you're hearing this show, and if it is after December 25th or the week of, which this is, please know that you're co-creating always and that time really isn't important in our reality and that we've enjoyed this time with you, though.
And also, regardless of when you're listening to it, there's information here for you. It may not be the holidays, but there is something that is speaking to you that you tuned in to hear.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. We all come out of family someplace, some way, some event. Yeah, definitely. So, and whether it's at work or at home, which is really the same place. It's funny how people kind of categorize their work life from their personal life. And excuse me, it's all personal. So,
well, yes, except you work from home. So
yeah,
there are no definitions or boundaries. But, you know, some people have to put on makeup and,
yeah,
and suits and
do
things.
All that dance. Really. There we go. So thank you all.
Yes, thank you all. And
we'll,
you,
join, we'll be thinking of them in heart space, won't we, John?
We will hold you all in heart space between now and next Tuesday and beyond.
And beyond. Good night, everyone. Or goodbye, everyone.
You've been listening to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet. I'm your host, Joan. This is Janet. And we thank you for joining us. And tune in next week. Same time, same channel.
Have a great week.
Been listening to Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet. Thanks so much for helping to co-create the show. No matter whether you're tuning in live or listening on demand, you energetically contribute to our collective experience. Joan and Janet love to hear from you and invite you to email your comments and ideas for them to explore each week. Contact them at consciouswithjoanandjanet@gmail.com. Tune in next Wednesday for another great show at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and 10 p.m. UTC.